together, trek through the New Testament, study the Word of God verse by verse. I'm so grateful you've taken the time to join me today, and I'm so grateful that you have tuned in to WGOD. It's God's frequency. He's always broadcasting. He always has a now word for you today, and it is a now word because His word is living, active, sharper than any two-edged sword. The word of the Lord is going to come to you today through the book of Revelation and in chapter 14. That's where we're picking it up in our ongoing series here. We're pretty much following two series right now here on WGOD, the Sunday sermons from the church that I pastor here, Island Community. And we're going through the book of Galatians. That's what you've listened to Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. Sorry for repeating Tuesday's program on Wednesday. There's only so many hours in the day. And then here today and tomorrow, we'll wrap this up. It's called The Grapes of Wrath, old John Steinbeck book. And, of course, that song popular during the Civil War, Mine Eyes Have Seen the Glory of the Coming of the Lord. That comes from this text right here we're going to look at here today and tomorrow. I invite you out to church this weekend if you're looking for a church home, if you're tired of going through the motions, if you're tired of your pastor not using a Bible and just talking about fluff or muck, then I invite you to come by where you know if you listen to this show, this radio program, then you fully know what to expect. And if that's what you're, if this is what you're looking for, we meet Sunday morning at 10:30. Island Community Church is at 1000 North Banana River Drive, Merritt Island. Even the live feed will kick off if you're unable to make it. That'll kick off at 10:35 in the morning, either on the Island Community Church Facebook page or if you download our app, Island Community Church FL. The app will turn on live at 10:35. You can worship along with us from wherever you are. We had someone, one of our members was in a deer blind. He was hunting up in another state up north somewhere, and he was watching the service from a deer blind. So, hey, you never know. That's the best one I've heard yet. You can watch from anywhere in the world as long as you have phone service and stream it through your phone or through your tablet. So whatever it takes. I'm looking forward to meeting you, and our church family would warmly greet you if you come by and visit on this Sunday morning. We're having an awesome time through the book of Galatians. I'm just getting excited now thinking about it. Paul's going to have a confrontation here with Peter now because Peter's going to be hanging out with Gentiles and he's eating with them. But then when these strict Judaizers come in, he hops right up and starts eating matzo balls now. And he won't touch the pulled pork platter that he left behind. See, this is the problem. Paul's going to call him out for his hypocrisy. That's coming up here in chapter 2. I believe we'll get to that this week. Okay, The Grapes of Wrath. Again, this will air today. We'll wrap up tomorrow. Our study in the book of Revelation takes us to chapter 14. Really, that's a miracle, you picking that song out for today. I want you to remember that song as I'm going through and preaching today. As we get and look at what the Bible calls of the grapes of wrath, where God rounding up the unbelievers and the grapes of wrath and what happens to them. Remember that song that we just sung. Because that is what, that's God's desire for everyone. It's not the grapes of wrath that He desires. He desires everyone to come to repentance. We read that God is long-suffering, not willing that any should perish. And we stop and look at the cross. Look at what Jesus did on the cross. That is what God wants for you. He doesn't want what we're going to read today. And I don't want you to see, well, God seems a little harsh or bristle or get mad at the preacher. That's not what God wants for you.
And there's another old song, perhaps you've heard before. And the song goes something like this. Mine eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord. He is trampling out the vintage where the grapes of wrath are stored. He hath loosed the faithful lightning of his terrible swift sword. His truth is marching on. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. His truth is marching on. His truth is marching on. The truth of God is that he loves you and wants you to spend eternity with him. And he's done all the work. Remember, hell was prepared for Satan and his angels, not for us. He wants us to spend eternity with him. Wikipedia says on that song, the song links the judgment of the wicked at the end of the age with the American Civil War, one of Abraham Lincoln's favorite songs. And that is where we're at here today. The judgment of the wicked at the end of the age. Indeed, his truth is marching on. Even though we're not at the book, we're not at the end of the book of Revelation yet. And that's because, like I've been saying all along, John takes us from vision to vision. We'll see the end of the age many times in the book of Revelation. Now, 2 weeks ago, where we left off here in Revelation, we saw the future destiny of all those that refuse the mark of the beast. Revelation 14:13. It says, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. Now, let's pick it up from right there. We're in the book of Revelation, chapter 14, and let's pick it up in verse 14. Okay, Revelation 14:14. Now, I'm in a conglomerate of the New King James and the King James. And I looked, and behold, a white cloud. And upon the cloud, one sat like unto the Son of Man, having on his head a golden crown, and in his hand a sharp sickle. Now, who in the Bible is the Son of Man? I mean, that's our symbolism there, right? There's only one other person in the Bible that God calls the Son of Man. Anyone remember who that is? Huh? No. Ezekiel. All throughout, that's his only name for Ezekiel, is the Son of Man. But now, the New King James has capitalized these pronouns here. The translators of the New King James believe this is Jesus. We don't know. It doesn't say. So again, then I looked. Let me read it from my New King James. Behold, a white cloud, and on the cloud sat one like the Son of Man, having on his head a golden crown, and in his hand a sharp sickle. And another angel came out of the temple, crying with a loud voice to him that sat on the cloud, thrust in thy sickle and reap, for the time is come for thee to reap, for the harvest of the earth is ripe. Verse 16, and he that sat on the cloud thrust in his sickle on the earth, and the earth was reaped. Now, for the record, nowhere does it say that these are evil or that anything bad happens to these. I've never seen that before. As many years as I've studied this book, nothing bad seems to happen to this group. You see, there's two reapings in this text. That's the first one. Verse 17, let's go on. Then another angel came out of the temple, which is in heaven, he also having a sharp sickle. And another angel came out from the altar, which had power over fire. And he cried with a loud cry to him that had the sharp sickle. This is someone else that has this sickle. Not one like the Son of Man. He cried out with a loud cry, verse 18, to him that had the sharp sickle, saying, thrust in thy sharp sickle and gather the clusters of the vine of the earth, for her grapes are fully ripe. Now watch what happens to these, verse 19. And the angel thrust in his sickle into the earth and gathered the vine of the earth and cast it into the great winepress of the wrath of God. And the winepress was trodden without the city, or trampled underfoot, or outside the city. And blood came out of the winepress, even under the horses' bridles, by the space of 1,600 furlongs. See, there's two reapings here. The first one, you don't read anything bad about. We see one that with all my years of studying the Bible, if you ask me my opinion, I would say this first one seems to be Jesus to me. And he's told, see, some people think it's not because he's told what to do. And you don't tell Jesus what to do. He's instructed because it's time to go out, thrust in your sickle and reap, for the time has come for you to reap, because the harvest of the earth is ripe. So he that sat on the cloud thrust in his sickle, and the earth was reaped. Then another angel came out. He also, see that? Also, this is the second one. He also having a sharp sickle. And another angel came out who had power over the fire, and he cried with a loud voice to this other one that had the sharp sickle, thrust in your sharp sickle, gather the clusters of the vine of the earth, for her grapes are fully ripe. And that was thrown into the great winepress of the wrath of God. That reminds me of Matthew chapter 24, where it says, two will be in the field. One will be taken, and one will be left. Or two will be grinding in the mill. One will be taken, and one will be left. There's two reapings at the end of the age. Everyone with me? So what's John trying to say here? He's telling us, using symbols, that there's a time of judgment coming upon all that dwell on the earth. That's just the message here. It's just in symbolic language. John is telling us that there's a judgment time that's going to come at the end of the age. Now, Jesus says it like this. Remember, back in the Gospel of Matthew, the Lord gave a parable known as the parable of the wheat and the tares. And what that was an explanation for why there's evil people among us, some even masquerading as Christians. And the Lord told us that while people were sleeping, or while people weren't paying attention, that Satan came and he sowed his own evil seed right in the same place that Jesus sowed his, amongst you and I. So his disciples wanted to uproot all the evil seeds that were sown. But Jesus wouldn't allow it. And Jesus said to them, let both grow together until the harvest. That's where we're at in Revelation 14. At the time of harvest, I will say to the reapers, first gather together. Now, I know it's out of order, what we just read. But first gather together the tares and bind them in bundles to burn them. But gather the wheat into my barn. You see, there's two gatherings. Not in the same order, what I just read to you. But we see two reapings at the end of the age. That's what I want you to see. And now here in Revelation, the time of harvest has arrived. But let me first finish what the Lord said about this from Matthew 13. Starting in verse 40. He says, therefore, as the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so it will be at the end of the world. The Son of Man will send out his angels, and he will gather together out of his kingdom all things that offend and those that practice lawlessness, and will cast them into the furnace of fire. There'll be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of the Father. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. You hear that? He that has ears to hear, let him hear. If you do have ears, you'll make sure that you're not regarded as a grape of wrath, only to be crushed by the angels at the end of the age. See, he says, he who has ears to hear, let him hear, because not everyone's going to hear this. Not everyone's going to understand this. And not everyone's going to care about this. That there is coming a time of judgment, he said. At the end of the age, the angels are going to separate the just and the unjust. Matthew 25, they separate, is another parable of the sheep on the right hand and the goats on the left. If you don't have ears, then all this is meaningless to you. What time's the football game on today? The fact that you will be amongst the grapes of wrath, crushed at the end of the age, and cast into the lake of fire will be no big deal to you. If you don't have ears to hear, you could care less what I'm saying to you, and you are bored. What can I say to you? Other than the time is coming where people in this world are going to be judged for the things that they've done here on earth. Paul wrote, 2 Corinthians 5:10, we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he hath done, whether good or bad. But then Paul went on to say this. Next, he says, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. Paul knew what was coming, and he's warning people, you don't want to go through this. You don't want to stand trial before God without your very own defense attorney, the paraclete, the Lord Jesus Christ, who's never lost a case. Hallelujah. Again, look at what happens here in Revelation 14. So the angel thrust in his sickle into the earth, gathered the vine of the earth, and threw it into the great winepress of the wrath of God. And the winepress was trampled outside the city, and blood came out of the winepress up to the horses' bridles, for 1,600 furlongs. Now, I remember going to the track as a kid. I remember races that were 6 furlongs. This is about halfway around the track. Ask Siri or ask your Google assistant how far 1,600 furlongs is. You'll be surprised. Right, 184 miles, approximately 200 miles. It's funny, it's about the length of Jerusalem. North to south. 184 miles up to the bridle. Any people, any horse riders here? How high up? There's one. Sean, how high up is the bridle of a horse? Yeah, I'd say four, at least. Well, let's hope this horse is a pygmy. Min pin. 4 feet. You see, oh, that's mean. You shouldn't be preaching that, Pastor. Or how could God do? You see, we sang the song of what Jesus did for you. He doesn't want this for you. This is your choice if you end up here. This is your choice if you end up here. Because God's already thrown you the life preserver. His name is Jesus. He's provided the way of escape. You are a sinner. And the Bible says the wages of sin is death. And all of us have fallen short of the glory of God. And the wages of sin is death. He's provided a way out. His name is Jesus. All who call on the name of the Lord will be saved. God wants to reconcile you back to him. And his way of doing it is through his son, Jesus Christ, who died in our place. I know this does seem harsh, but that's what's going to happen at the end of the age for rejecting him and rejecting his son. 200 miles of blood up to the bridle of the horse, all because you're upset that God loves you. All because you're upset that God loves you. That's the charge against you. You see, maybe you've never heard that before. That's because Satan has blinded us. And when the smoke clears, the charge against everyone is God loves you. God loves you. Do with that as you will. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him would not perish. The charge against humanity is God loves you. And he wants to reconcile you back to him. But Satan's blinded that. He's hidden that message. That ultimately is what it is. People die at the end of the age for refusing the love of God. Where is that in the Bible? 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 9 through 11. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 9 through 11, you read, people perish at the end of the age for refusing the love of the truth. And the Bible says, for this reason, God will send them a strong delusion so that they will believe the lie, which earlier in the chapter you read, that Antichrist is God is the lie. He sits as God in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. For all those that refuse the love of Jesus Christ, God is going to force, inspire you to believe the Antichrist is God for refusing love. All you had to do is receive him. And that's the great deception. That's why the Bible says the dragon who deceives the whole world. It's all deception. It's all smoke and mirrors. God loves you. Want everyone to see that. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. That's not what God will. Again, God is long-suffering, not willing that any should perish, but all would come to repentance. Okay, let's move on here. Let's move on to chapter 15. We got chapter 15 and half of chapter 16 to get to. Now, chapter 15's got the heading, the prelude to the bowl judgments. Verse 1, and I saw another sign in heaven, great and marvelous. Seven angels having the last seven plagues, for in them is filled up the wrath of God, or the wrath of God is complete. Now remember, the book's got 21 judgments. Seven seals, seven trumpets, and seven, the King James says, vials, or it's a bowl. Bowl judgments. Verse 2. And I saw, as it were, a sea of glass mingled with fire, and them that had gotten the victory over the beast. Remember, the beast is the Antichrist. I saw, as it was, a sea of glass mingled with fire, and them that had gotten the victory over the beast, and over his image, and over his mark, and over the number of his name, having the harps of God. And they sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, great and marvelous are thy works, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are thy ways, thou King of saints. For who shall not fear thee, O Lord, and glorify thy name? For thou alone art holy. For all the nations will come and worship before thee, for thy judgments are made manifest. Verse 5, and after that I looked, and behold, the temple of the tabernacle of the testimony in heaven was open. And the seven angels came out of the temple, having the seven plagues, clothed in pure and white linen, and having their breasts girded with a golden sash. And one of the four beasts gave unto the seven angels seven golden vials full of the wrath of God who liveth forever and ever. And the temple was filled with smoke. Can you imagine this scene? The temple was filled with smoke from the glory of God and from his power. And no man was able to enter into the temple until the seven plagues of the seven angels were fulfilled. All right, here come the last seven plagues. Now, I would assume that all of your loved ones that have died in the faith will be a part of this. and they'll be able to witness it.
We believe that there is no stopping the child of God that is walking with him daily and is tuned in to his frequency, which is the Holy Spirit, who uses the Word of God to transform us daily and to speak to us. For more information on WGOD Radio, please check us out on the web. You'll find us on Facebook at WGOD Radio. And on Twitter at WGOD Radio. Join us again next time for WGOD Radio. All truth, all the time.
Have I told you about Boaters Exchange? Boaters Exchange is a family-owned boat store in Rockledge on US 1, right next to Rockledge Gardens. From Melbourne to Titusville, from Merritt Island to the beaches, Boaters Exchange serves the local community with boating supplies, boats, and world-class service as well. Boaters Exchange is a proud corporate sponsor and underwriter of the radio ministries of WMIE. They are available at 638-0090. Boaters Exchange was recently named one of the top 100 boat dealers in North America, and they are the only 5-star dealer in Brevard. Once again, Boaters Exchange at 638-0090, 321-638-0090.
Watch the